We back.
I hope you all had a lovely Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas is over.
Yes, I hope you had a very, very festive and relaxing time. And we are now in what is referred to as...
summer.
Yeah, I'm stretching out the last of my Xmas jumpers and you've gone full...
Yeah.
Yeah. You look like you and Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys had a breakdown.
Yeah.
When he used to just sit in a sandpit and shit himself all day long.
Yeah, well, we've all shat ourselves in a sandpit. No, it was a ball pit I did it in. Shit yourself in a ball pit's a real fucking hassle.
What I propose is because if you listen to the last episode, and why wouldn't you? We've not had any time apart because we're just recording these back to back because we were both going away home for Christmas.
I changed.
Yes,
we changed.
This is the magic of
television for you guys. And, even though we also told you,
yeah.
So there was no point in changing.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, like there is no fourth wall. I propose. Because we've got fuck all that's happened in between.
Yes.
As a catch-up. And because I have a feeling we both have a lot to say on today's film. I reckon we get straight into it. The first time we've got straight into it.
I'll go fucking balls deep immediately. Right. Yes.
Before we do that, because it's New Year's week as well, I've got another drink for us.
Oh, shit.
A wee bottle of Prosecco.
A wee bottle of Prosecco. What's your New Year's resolution then? Do you have one yet?
I did the same New Year's resolution. Well, pretty much every year, like lose weight and shit like that. But it won't fucking happen. What's yours?
You're up to a green belt in the IRA.
I would imagine a green belt was quite.
You see, Elliot did that when he was like, "Oh, my blue belt now," and I'm just like,
"Oh yeah, I saw that."
Well, blue belt used to be like I'm higher than that.
Is it blue belt not the second one?
No. Mine's used to go, but mine's is karate. I don't know, it's different and sort of thing. So it was white, red, yellow, green, blue, purple, brown, black. Shoto.
Wait a minute.
Can.
Right. We can't go straight into the film. You are four levels away from being a black belt.
I'm
karate.
One level. Away. I'm higher than that. Elliot's talking about being a blue belt.
So what
I'm
are
like,
you?
You're
a brown belt in karate.
I actually technically was the one before the brown because I left like the week before doing the brown.
Right.
Kata, the exams. They're called kata. There's like a dance for shit.
Fuck off. You're a high level.
No, I'm not high level.
Karate master.
I'm not a high level. This was done in Strabane. It was just a place where my parents dumped me off for a couple of years, go away.
Right. Okay.
And it was 2-4 on a Saturday. I missed an FA Cup final. It's the most upset I've ever been in my life.
So that kata thing that they do in Karate Kid 3 with the...
Yeah, different dances, yeah.
They actually do that?
Yeah, you have to do like perform a whole kata. I got into two tournaments and I got disqualified from both for poor technique.
Poor technique.
I hurt the person I hit with by accident in two separate. I punched the guy in the nose and broke his nose. You're not supposed to hit there. It's like there. You get a full point, you know. But I just completely mishit it. Wasn't being a hard man. Just really poor technique. My favorite one, though, I was fighting a purple belt. And I tried to kick him in the head. You get a full point if you get like clean contact to the head. And I was too small.
Mm-hmm.
And I kicked him directly in the Adam's apple. He collapsed like, and then Christ. The other semi-final had to be a final because I was disqualified and he couldn't fight on.
Shit.
So the other semi-final just became a final.
My God.
Mm.
I find it very, very funny that you've just been going on about how you're a karate master, but you're struggling to be strong enough to open a bottle of Prosecco.
I didn't open it. I can open it. Don't fucking run me down the fucking thing. I was like, are we opening this now? Is what I was doing.
I can't wait to do the kid because I've wanted to do the Karate Kid as a film for a while. That'll be excellent when we do that because you've got a bit of inside knowledge.
Oh, Jesus Christ. There is no inside knowledge. The guy used to, it's the worst ever martial arts. It's definitely the lowest, it's the crappest.
Do you ever do the crane?
No, that's not a thing.
Is it not
a thing? It's not a thing. There's loads of different fucking like disciplines and all. I think I was with Shotokan or something like that. So I don't think it was that. It was, no, actually, no, it wasn't. I don't know if it's part of another one. But, like, you know, our guy, we had to take 6 months off karate because our sensei got his head kicked in a bar. He was a Port Vale fan. I don't know why you'd be a Port Vale fan in Northern Ireland, but yeah, he got his shit rocked in a bar in Strabane.
Because he was a Port Vale fan?
Nah, I don't know if that was related, I presume.
Bloody hell.
But he basically was in hospital for like 4 months, and we were like, this isn't really... It's not really positive for us.
Fuck.
Imagine Mr. Miyagi. He was like, well, I can't be there.
Yeah.
I'm in a coma.
Yeah.
Some cunt.
I'm going to see Crew Alexandra.
I'll have to see Crew Alexandra.
Right. It's Colin's pick this week for the very last film of 2023. And you've outdone yourself, so I'll let you do the introduction.
This time is Richard Curtis, is that what it was?
Yeah, boy.
We're getting to a Richard Curtis film, which is Love Actually. Which is, and I've seen this about 10 times, I actually enjoy watching it. It's that shit.
Mm.
And it's not like, and people get upset. Some people go, you know, oh, it's a, you know, I still enjoy it. It's shit in possibly every possible facet of film, like every single character, every scene, every creepy little cunt in it, every conniving little bitch, anything is just fucked.
Yeah,
it's a horror film as well. Most of it is a horror film. Most of it is just not. I'll get into it
again. It's one of those, I don't hate it as much as you do. And I used to really like it. I still quite like it, right? I'm torn with this.
I've watched it. I still quite like it.
I still get. I still get quite teary and emotional at one of the bits, right? The bit when Neeson is in the funeral of the kid's mum. That's horrible. But But when you've got your own kids, you then go.
His wife died in real life before this, and I didn't give a fuck.
Well, did she not die, and then he immediately started getting into films like Taken?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like, clearly she was like, he was just trying to show off to her that he could act, and then she died, and he went, action films, baby, get me into, you know.
But this is the. I know you've said it before about looking at films where beforehand you just let a film wash over you, but because we're trying to do it for this, I watched this with that kind of eye last night. And I was watching it with that kind of eye, and my wife was watching it just for pure enjoyment. And I was really starting to get on her tits.
Okay, that's
with fair. The amount of stuff that I would say to you.
And yes, she was just like that. Yeah.
I'm just trying to enjoy this fucking film.
That does happen.
Yeah.
I've noticed it with a couple of films. It's actually, to be honest, made me like more films. I thought I'd be more critical of. Yeah. I mean, it was critical of the last one, which was wild, but
the
this one,
I genuinely don't even know where to start with it. I on it.
The how way, about you? How about well to make our way through this? Mm-hmm. Will we stick to the arcs of each of the
that
characters?
That was exactly what I was going to say. If we take every single
shit
character and relationship and then just dissect everyone.
Yeah. Because, now, which one's on your side?
The one that
the Mongo brother keeps getting their cock blocked? Or would you want to start with...
start with... Because it's not a huge plot. It is just a shitload of people's... lives intertwined around
Christmas. I hate that they intertwine. I hate everything about the... Which fucking one do you want to start with?
See, I normally like that Pulp Fiction style thing where...
But you don't fucking stories, dare.
No, of course. No, I'm not. Stories. Before we do start, and...
Like Night on Earth.
We'll press our 9/11 klaxon.
The inside job.
That's what it's going to be.
Because
the one we're going to record for the wee horny guy is just going to be me going, you're dirty bastard.
Yeah,
because we've not done wee horny guy for a while. And okay, I reckon every single person in this film is a wee horny guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we start, the voice, I completely forgot that it started like this with footage of real people meeting their loved ones. Now, I don't even know if Curtis had permission to film these people, but it's people meeting loved ones at the airport. Maybe they've not seen them for years, maybe they're estranged, maybe they're saying goodbye to folk, and he's filming them like some weirdo. And then Hugh Grant comes over with a voiceover about love and how love is all around us and how love is actually everywhere. And then out of the blue that I completely forgot about, because I'm like, that, do you know what, it's quite saccharine, it's quite cheesy, but at least it's making a point. I get it. Love is all around if you look at it, if you look for it. But then, out of the blue, he just goes, when two planes hit the Twin Towers in 9/11 in America, I'm fairly certain none of the phone calls were of revenge or hatred. They were all about love. And I was like, that, like, who edited this fucking
That's
thing?
That's so good.
Why? That line makes no sense whatsoever.
It just reminds me of the, you've seen the Shane Gillis sketch?
Yes. Oh, God, it's so funny. Yeah. It's
I'll
come so down, good.
I'll fucking wear you out.
It's so funny.
That's so, that really takes you off. Do you know a lot of rom-coms, English-based, really love and mentioning 9/11 or having a 9/11 involved?
Do they?
Well, I'd Love Actually, that weird one with fucking another Colin Firth one, Remember Me.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
I mean, I don't think we can comment at all on anyone overly using mentions of 9/11. I'm fairly certain we could do the Jungle Book and we'd end up talking about fucking 9/11.
So. Yeah, in fairness.
Right, what relationship would you like to start with? What character?
Right. Let me start with the Prime Minister.
Right. Arguably the main character, I would
arguably,
say, of the film.
That's what I was trying to think here. Right? Yeah. So the entire premise is this, is Tory MP falls in love with working girl.
Is he a Tory?
He's a fucking Tory.
He
might be an Ed Miliband type who's basically a Tory.
I had a feeling, I had an inkling he was based on Blair.
Oh, aye. Oh, yeah. So I... banging chicks and war crimes.
But that kind of, like, hey, I'm the kid. Just call me Tone. That kind of fucking...
Just call me Tone.
That kind of shit. Geography teacher type.
Fucking, right. So this film ages as well so badly. Mm. Most of this film is age. What fucking year is this? Like 2004, I'm going to guess?
2003.
Around that, anyway, right. So
2003.
His entire thing is like, I'm a bit... I'm trying to make a guy a normal person, mm-hmm. but really, like, if they filmed the camera any 5 seconds, you know, they're like, you know what, just get that Chinese family out of that house.
It's not a
sympathetic character.
Hugh Grant playing Hugh Grant, and thank God, like, Hugh Grant is like
somewhat likable,
class.
Yes.
Like in The Gentleman,
he's brilliant.
Hugh Grant is class. Mm. In Paddington 2, Hugh Grant is fucking class.
Yeah.
I like Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Can never say.
I like Four Weddings and a Funeral. I hate Notting Hill. Notting Hill is probably my least favorite film in the entire world.
I don't watch them.
No.
Because too English. It's like this film. It's like Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah.
And Chicken Run.
Yeah, there's nothing that you...
I'm like, I have nothing to this. Yeah. You're packaging England.
I get the same with The Commitment.
I get
The Commitment's in The Name of the Father.
Whoa, now we're talking about a film.
But yeah, he's Hugh Grant being what Hugh Grant was at this stage of his career.
Yes. And you know what? He's fine in it. He's probably one of the better just general actors and all this type of shit. But like, do you know, like, he's bitten here just, like, it just, when you're watching it and going like, who thought this is, only English people, royal family lovers, mm-hmm. would find the story of a British PM mm-hmm. going like, oh, look at this, not that fat. Look at this chunky working girl. What a romance here. What a romance we're going to get into here. Like, you know, it's like basically like, let's sink those dinghies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Puts down the phone. He's like, can you get that big one in here? The plumpy. Is that what her parents call it?
It's fucking insane.
Her is like, oh, she's normal. She's working class. She can't stop swearing. I'm like, what kind of a fucking shit character is this?
Even Amy had to admit last night,
this
is quite embarrassing. Because she's not fat.
She's not.
At all. Literally, Martine McCutcheon isn't fat in the slightest.
Yeah.
But it's not just...
It's not just
her. Because she... You could almost understand it when she says... When he asks her... first of all, when he finds out she's from the dodgy end of... What is it? Like, Walthamstow?
Yes.
Wandsworth or something like that. Yeah. And he said, so have you got a boyfriend, 3 illegitimate children? And you're like, what? The fuck you. And then she says, which if they'd left it at that, you'd go, right, fair enough, the guy sounds a prick. She says, oh no, my boyfriend split up with me because he reckons I'm getting too fat, and he kept saying I've got chunky thighs and all this kind of stuff. And then you'd go, right, that's fine. But then her parents call her Plumpy.
The dad goes, oh, Plumpy. No, don't call her Plumpy.
And the other, Hugh Grant's, I'm assuming, main, like, assistant. Advisor? Yeah.
Yeah.
Says, you mean the fat girl?
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, she's got quite a considerable arse or stuff, and you're just like, what are you talking about? What madness.
I know.
Would you? And you know what the worst thing is? And the part of that whole story thing that I didn't get the most is, fucking American president shows up, mm-hmm. right? Clearly sexually assaults her, mm-hmm. essentially. And what does he do? He sacks her. That's the storyline.
He does nothing there.
He does nothing
there.
He sees it happening. Her deeply uncomfortable. He goes out, and apparently it's the hero part where he goes out and he completely goes, well, you know what? Fuck the American president. And everybody's clapping, going like,
yeah.
Oh, the Union Jack. And I'm like, that's never happened. You've been dangling off every American president's cock for years. Yeah. So you can't pan this off as like, Britain's Britain. You've never done this in your life.
This is 6 years after Britain followed, not even 6 years, 4 or 5 years after Britain followed America into an illegal war with Iraq.
Yeah.
Hugh Grant standing up because...
And then you're like, okay, so he's standing up for her and he stares at her, right? And then the next scene is her, like, him going, anyway, get rid of her.
Yeah.
I can't be having my bitches getting raped around here. Is basically what he did. And then the turnaround of the story is, God, do you remember that? Remember that chick the fat chick that I got sacked for being molested. Gotta miss her.
Yeah.
And this is passed off as some sort of like, whoa, this is lovely.
It's the way when he goes to try and find her at the end, he's made out to be some kind of knight in shining armor.
Oh, you know, he's macking all the doors.
Aye. And then he fucking ruins the kid. He ruins the kid's nativity play because he gets caught largely fucking goosing her behind the fucking
Martin's been goosed.
And first of all, the tabloids would lose their fucking mind at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And also, what HR department is this where you've got one of your employees getting felt up by the American president, then loses their job because of that, then is basically sexually exploited by the prime minister?
Yes.
As I'm saying this, it probably does happen all the time.
Yes, but. But it's just the fact that it happens all the time. At least that's... And that's not the least that, but it's a bad thing. And this is kind of like, it's because they played Christmas music over it. Much like most of this film, they played Christmas music over absolute horror shows. And then they went, oh, it's nice. Do you know, like, knocking on the door to, like, are you the prime minister? Most of them are like, imagine opening the door to fucking, my fucking grand died.
Exactly. Because
she couldn't. She froze to death because you're fucking.
And Rishi Sunak.
Anyway,
standing on a stepladder.
Excuse me.
Trying to knock your door.
Oh, that. Excuse me. Yeah, that's a great criticism. I'm trying to bang a fat girl.
Yeah.
Not that fat, but.
Yeah.
Not fat at all.
I appreciate there's a cost of living crisis. Not in our fucking house.
Yeah.
Ooh, blah,
blah, yeah, yeah. You know, working class, they're all horsing at you. You can't stop swearing this bitch. I love her. I'm like, aye, what a too shite shallow.
And the way they make him goofy and forgivable is, he, first of all, he says a hilarious wee quip about Margaret Thatcher on the wall where he calls her a saucy minx. That's British humour. And then when he dances to Trump, and that's supposed to be the thing where you go, ach, well, listen, let's just forget the fact that he's having a hugely inappropriate relationship with one of his staff as the most powerful man in the country.
Jesus Christ, the more you think about it, like, the saucy minx stuff. The saucy, well, she is a saucy, is a bit of a, well, she's currently dangling off the devil's cock, isn't she? Being burned alive, rotisserie, but as we speak, but yes.
Can I tell you something, sorry, very, very quickly, because it's Billy Bob Thornton that plays the American president, who actually think he's probably the best person in the film.
yeah.
But I need to tell you something very, very quickly for you about Billy Bob Thornton, because I remember we were talking, me and Amy, my wife, we were talking about him one day, and she was going, she was like, who is that? Who's that guy? Who's that guy that was, he's in Love Actually, Please the President. What's his name? Who's that guy? He was married to Angelina Jolie. What's his name? Bobby Joe Johnson. And I was like, how did you manage to get all three names wrong? That's like a talent.
It's so right and so wrong.
Bobby Joe Johnson.
Bobby Joe Johnson. Bobby Joe Johnson sounds like a guy you'd see. He reminds me of he'd be like C6 Steve. Plays a Castrol can. Then he met a guitar editor. Bobby Joe Johnson. We're gonna have to burn.
But yes, as a story arc.
What a fucking abysmal. Shite. Right. The assistants, everybody just seems to love Fetch, like proper, like they're like, that's this fucking cow.
My jaw dropped when he said, one thing, that girl Natalie, and she goes, what, the fat one? that's how she refers to her. That's her boss.
Yeah.
The fat one.
You know the big fucker there.
Right.
Who do I have to... Remember when he's sitting there chatting in the thing? He's like, who do I have to get... You know,
how do I have to screw to get a cup of tea and a biscuit around here?
Yeah, who do I have to fuck here to get a Kimberly? Who do I have to fucking ransack? Oh. The fact that he comes into the president looking at her going like, fuck me, you got some fucking fat talent around here. what the film is kind of saying.
It's incredible that they've managed to create essentially Johnson and Trump.
Yeah.
17 years before they ever came into power.
Do you know another fucking thing that I noticed, right? When they get revealed, so they have a wee schmooch behind the old thing, and the curtain's open. Mm. But is it during the scenes where she's singing? We'll get to her, the girl's singing.
Yeah.
But she goes, all I want for Christmas is you. And they turn... And the spotlight hits where they are, the music things, and the curtains open, and it's just them two. And I'm just like, what was supposed to be there?
Exactly. Because the whole
nativity scene turned and went, and then it opens up and it's the thing, and they're like, oh, and I'm like, well, who was supposed to be there? Because they weren't there.
Oh, that's a good point. Because
if it was like another fucking, I don't know, if it was like the local gospel choir, they're like, here, what the fuck? Get out of here, man. This is about to open.
Yeah.
Nobody was there. Yeah. They were just winging it.
The production value in that nativity
is,
how does it go from being the shittest nativity where there's people with massive fish heads,
lobsters, octopuses,
to then having a gospel choir
and
a full band?
Yeah, I mean, it's the ones that the... It's just do you know when they're doing like this, like, this is the country of this is the country of Churchill, and I go, terrible start. Yeah. This is possibly the worst possible start. Yeah. This is a German doing it. Like, wait, this is the country of Bradford, Hitler. You're like, what are you doing?
That is twee. That's exactly like the Margaret Thatcher line. It's twee English humour.
Oh.
Where he goes, this is the country of Winston Churchill, William Shakespeare, David Beckham's right foot, David Beckham's left foot.
And then
everyone goes, Radio 4 fucking comedy.
Yeah, real. Yeah, yeah. It is realistic, though, that they did leave an American president for 12 seconds and he did rape someone. In fairness, they did nail that head on. I have so many notes because I don't want to miss parts of thing. Let me see if I've got any more about this cunt. Because I thought that was the one that was more like straight off the bat going like, this is fucking English people. This is English people putting a little bow on an absolute nightmare and passing it off as British.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're very polite.
Just so we're not talking about all English people here. We are talking about Richard Curtis film English people here.
I'm talking about all English.
Right, you are talking about all English.
No. I am actually genuinely talking about Richard Curtis English people, mad royal family people.
Yeah, that's exactly who we're talking about. It's mad. We're talking about home counties fucking...
People are impressed by beef eaters.
Yeah, yeah. Twee
Like wax. Yeah. It's that type of fuck.
The only beef eater I'm impressed by is when you can get a pint and a Sunday roast.
Yes.
Right, next.
Which cunt is next?
I'm gonna go.
You choose next.
Right, let's do one a piece. Right, let's go Neeson next. Right. So Neeson.
Love Neeson. My favorite. Love Neeson. My favorite racist.
Yeah, love Liam Neeson. Right. His wife's died.
Yeah.
He has sole custody of her child. He's a stepdad, right? Fair enough.
Is he the stepdad?
He's only a stepdad.
I didn't know this.
He's not the kid's actual dad. No idea. Never find out.
Okay.
Right. So she dies at the start. It's quite sad. There's nothing wrong. Like, and the funeral's quite sad when they play Basic Rollers.
That was funny.
The wee kid
that was funny.
Is obviously devastated, right? And yeah, I understand that could have been handled so much better, because that is a difficult situation. If you're a stepdad, the kid's mother's died, you don't know how to deal with it. You don't know how to deal with your own grief. You don't know what the hell's going on in the kid's head. He's not coming down from his room. Then, right, so up until this point, Liam Neeson's whole story arc has been fine, right? You go, right, this is very understandable, very sad story. Is he related to Emma Thompson?
I think that it kind of said they were brother and sister. It kind of alluded their family.
Right. So he's talking to her about the fact that the kids, I can't remember the kid's name, Sam. He's talking about the fact that Sam won't come down from his room and he's worried about what's going on in his head. And then, quite naturally, he just breaks down in the kitchen and starts crying.
Yeah.
Her reaction is to say, people don't like sissies. Stop crying or else no one will ever want to shag you again.
Yeah.
This is the day after his wife's funeral. The day after his sister is going, fucking man up or you'll never get your hole again.
Do you know the first time the first time she rings.
Yeah. She barely get time to speak to him.
Yes, it's like, oh, how are you? Yeah, that's how. No, before that, to let you know that his wife's died, it's him on the phone before the funeral, and it's her going like, well, how's things? Obviously, your wife has just died.
Yeah.
What an insane thing you would just, you know. It's just a way to tell the audience that his wife's died. But like, you would never do that. It's such badly delivered.
No characters. This is what I mean. Like, when people go on about, like, Richard Curtis, did no one else look at this script? Because it is the worst character development. It's the worst character motivation, because every single character. So I noticed this very early on when I was watching it last night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I checked for it. Every single character in this film's motivation is getting a shag. Literally, every single one
shag, actually,
is just trying to get their hole. Even in that moment, she says, stop grieving or you'll never get shagged again.
Yeah.
Who the fuck says that?
Yeah.
Who says that a year after your wife's died, let alone 24 hours? Who says to the question, I am really worried about this child that I now have sole guardianship of.
Yeah.
And is probably going through the most traumatic thing he will ever go on.
Yeah.
Fucking watch yourself or you'll never get your dick wet again.
I've got a couple of my friends coming to the funeral. And you better not cry, you know, because they're ready to suckle. They're ready to suckle Irish dick.
Yeah. And then Neeson gets progressively worse, because it turns out the kid's obsessed with this girl at school.
Yeah, yeah.
And he encourages this behavior. He encourages the basic behavior of what you need to do is take all the grief you feel for your mum dying and put it all into essentially stalking this girl.
Turn it into horniness.
But so, the way he speaks to him.
I know they're trying to do a thing where they're like, oh, what a cool little open relationship. It's overly, you know, overly normal. But I'm just like, this is a literal nightmare. Because he actually just sets him up for an absolute disaster.
At one point, the kid says to him, oh, I've not asked you about your love life. Again, mere days after the mum's been put in the ground.
Have you been tag teaming
any horse? Aye, I've not been asking. And then he goes on about, your mum was the one, and unless Claudia Schiffer comes into my life, which inexplicably she fucking does at the end.
As not Claudia Schiffer. She comes as someone else's mother.
And just you can't
You can't say Claudia Schiffer's alive and then go, right, so Claudia Schiffer's alive in this world.
Yeah.
And then present Claudia Schiffer as someone else's ma.
Yeah.
What is it? Is it like a... Is it supposed to be, this is just a Claudia Schiffer also, doppelganger?
This is getting mentioned at some point in the film. The fact that there's a ma at the school that looks like fuck... There's no ma at my kid's school that looks like fucking Claudia Schiffer. If there's a Claudia Schiffer cutting about at the nativity play, nobody's watching the fucking nativity. They're going, fucking hell, what a hot ma that is, right?
Claudia Shirtlifter.
He's sitting there. He says, oh, unless Claudia Schiffer comes in, and he says, oh, yeah, the kid says, oh, yeah, I'll make sure. What if I'm in the house? Liam Neeson calls him a motherless mongrel. A week after the kid's seen his mother put in the ground, a motherless mongrel, and says, oh, no, you'll need to get out there because we'll be doing it everywhere, including we'll be shagging. He says we'll be shagging everywhere, including your room.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Social services are taking him away immediately. Yeah.
Hope there's suspension in your race car bed because it's getting
fucking hell.
It's getting fucking cum drenched.
Like, I do get that idea of, that needs to be a cool relationship.
It's not.
Come on.
It's not. I'm going to be hammering. This kid's like 8 or something. I'm going to, the kid's really young.
The kid is young, yeah.
I'm going to be hammering.
It's weird how he pursues. You know what? They could have made it quite nice that he just has a crush on this girl, but he's intense. He's like that. This is tense, the worst thing that's ever happened to me. He was in silly. And then, and also, on a side point that's nothing to do with romance, how the fuck does he go from... Because he starts to learn the drums because she's a really good singer and she's doing a solo of Mariah Carey at the Nativity. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be in the band because rock stars get women.
Yeah.
So he goes, I'm going to learn how to play the drums. Liam Neeson, you see these hilarious shots where he's can't sleep because the kid's shite at the drums and just banging away. It says 1 week to go until the nativity. So this is 1 week till Christmas. The nativity's on Christmas Eve. So this is 6 days. 6 days before, the kid's still... Duh, 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 concert comes, he's fucking doing fills.
Yeah.
How the fuck did he become so good at the drums?
John
how
Bonham.
How did he become Keith Moon in six fucking days?
That's love, Mark. Love can make you... You know, you see, man, I tried to impress a girl with a tin whistle once.
A flute.
I was... Yeah. I was fucking Luke Kelly in 2 days. I was fucking right in there, the Dubliners. By the way, you said there about that 1 week to go. The film starts with 5 weeks to go, and I was like, fuck off, November.
That's November, yeah, exactly.
It's closer to fucking Halloween.
Exactly. Oh, I'll get to Halloween later on. Liam takes it. So they do the performance. She still doesn't notice him. So Liam Neeson then goes, well, you're just going to have to fucking tell her you're well into her. And he says, well, I can't because she's flying. Who books a flight for that time? Yes. Like, who's got the biggest performance of her life so far? And then, so, what you telling me this nativity ran exactly to time? Nothing went wrong? With you've got a gospel choir. You've got kids that can't fucking get their costumes. You've got a kid probably pissed themselves backstage because they're nervous.
The Prime Minister's turned up finger blasting.
Right? And this is run so to time that they can immediately get in a taxi because they've got a flight within the hour.
You're moving out of here.
And then, so he says, right, she'll be leaving from Heathrow. They don't know where she's going.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be anywhere. It could be anywhere in America.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But let's get to Heathrow, right? I know a shortcut, right?
Oh, yeah, he says that. Why do you know a shortcut?
Aye. And also, it's not a shortcut because you get there about 20 minutes after them. Because by that point, they've already dropped their bags off, checked in, and are at security.
So what
fucking shortcut? What was this a shortcut via Watford, you cunt? What?
It's just like, oh God, like, yeah, do you know what he's crying? He's crying as well during the funeral. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was his wife. But it reminded me, I got tagged out carrying the coffin at my gran's funeral because I was clearly struggling.
What with the weight? She was a fat woman.
I genuinely, she's buried on like a, you know, like a hill. Like the grave isn't quite like a steep.
Right.
And I was on the front left. And I remember going like, I'm going to drop her. This is like, someone clearly saw me. It's the most emasculating thing that's ever happened to me. Because I can't remember who it was. It might have been an uncle or something. Just went, before we got the thing, like, he just went, he looked at me like, like Mourinho does when you fuck up an absolute.
That's amazing.
Tammy Abraham had a shiter at Rome. He just went, substitution, right? Just
that is wonderful.
Stand there like a fucking thing. I'll do it. This is a man's job. And then I had to stand there like this, going like, yeah, I nearly dropped dead granny.
I know why your gran's built on a hill.
Oh, why is that?
So they could run the spunk out of it.
For fuck's like a drain into the river.
Oh, God, that would be the worst thing we've said.
Dragged out of the... Like, this has been a long-running bit about my grandmother, yes.
Right, so when they get to the airport...
Yes.
Right? Now, again, we'll bring 9/11 into this. This is post-9/11, right? So security, still. Yeah. This is 2 years. 2 years after 9/11.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So security is still going to be tight as fuck. Yet this kid somehow manages... to get past about 3 different gates without a ticket, right? And then we'll lead to the thing that you showed me earlier on, which blew my mind.
Okay, so I presume you've seen this film or know what we're talking about. He basically jumps through all the security, mm-hmm. right? That's the part of the film, finds the girl at the gate, and the police are all running after him. I saw about 2 years ago, just someone going like, I tweet, just someone going, I know you think this is mental, or this looks insane. It is. This was in the film until the last second. Like, he pulled it just before. He's like, no, we'll reshoot that. That seems a bit ridiculous. Go onto YouTube and type in just airport Love Actually deleted scene. For no reason, not a mention of it in the film, he does Simone Biles gymnastics.
It's insane.
He cartwheels over people. He backflips. He does. There's two poles randomly in the airport, so he can do at the exact height. You can do the the
vertical bars.
Vertical bars. Yeah, yeah.
He performs a gymnastics routine
for about 2 minutes over.
At one point, because I get it. Right, it's weird. Yeah. When he jumps over the security guard, he could have just leapfrog him. That's what kids would do. Leapfrog him. For some reason, he does a tumble.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Don't know why. But that in the film you'll have seen, that's it. In the deleted scene, he gets through that. Then, at one of the gates, where it's just people sitting waiting to get called for their flight.
Yeah, and those seats that are facing each other.
He could just run, for some reason, cartwheels, and then backflips all the way past them.
Which would slow you down. The guards would...
Yeah.
The guards would be like, oh, great. Thank God the guy's doing cartwheels. We can catch him now.
And then he does, and then there's two where he gets cornered by
about
15 of them.
What you said though was,
oh yeah,
the legs when the cartwheel is clearly a man, like a six foot,
not even a small man, a six foot gymnast is doing these stunts.
When he does the finger, like, okay, this is clearly just a dude now doing cartwheels. Seriously, you need to watch
this. The kid gains about a foot and a half in the cartwheel, and then so the vertical bars come. And, right, say, put the two bars there, right? Jump down, swing on one, grab the other, jump down. Why does he need to... He does 3 turns and then a backflip onto the other bar.
The man's
one's scoring this.
The wee boy, the boy's trying to get laid.
But she's not even watching
I know.
I'm like, do you know when people go on about Tarantino? Particularly like in Once Upon a Time in America... In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, sorry. Where they go... What Tarantino needs is, because since his regular editor died, folk have gone, Tarantino's films are too long now, and he needs someone to sit there going, you don't need this bit.
Yeah.
At least with the things they're saying is normally Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio just talking the best dialogue that you've seen written.
Yeah.
When Richard Curtis isn't told to cut things out, you get this. You get a kid becoming a giant.
Yes.
Doing tumbles in front of confused passengers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He would have been shot immediately.
He would.
And he'd cave his little head in.
And none of them would have kept their jobs.
And
how the f- fuck are you going to stop a terrorist if you can't stop a 10-year-old
yeah, yeah.
tumbler?
And Liam Neeson would go to jail for literally making him do the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, he's just trying to say goodbye.
Yeah.
They drop him out too. Remember when he gets up and they're just like,
I know. Don't you do that again, you fuck off.
But yeah, he'd be on the news. He'd be like, yeah.
Right.
We lit up an 8-year-old.
That's them done.
Let me see. No, let me see. I have to go. I want to make sure. Look, I have who the fuck goes to America after a school play an hour off? I've got that. I've got the extra scene. Mm-hmm. I got the thing. I need to cover these because I wrote more notes for this than anything I've ever, you know what I mean, I've ever done. The octopus, the nativity scene, a little stupid. No, I think we're done.
That's not as stupid as you.
Why?
Like, as I told you, before, I told you in Cara when I arrived, my kids did a Christmas play the other day. This wasn't to do with the school. It was a wee drama group they go to. And they were allowed to make up their own play.
Yeah.
And for their Christmas play, my son played a boy who was half human, half pizza box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who played for Bayern Munich.
Help.
So mental characters in kids' plays isn't out of the ordinary.
They made me play Judas. I said that the last
time. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, you're not going to be part of this. Yeah, no, I think I'm done with this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, you pick the next one.
Right. I think the next one I'm going to choose is the worst character.
I think I know who you mean.
The worst character. A good actor. Sometimes.
Lincoln. Andrew Lincoln. Are you talking about?
No, I want to keep that. That's the
book. Oh, right. That's the pièce de résistance.
Yes, that's the humdinger.
You're not talking about the guy from My Family, are you?
What's My Family?
Or Colin Firth are you talking about?
No. I'm talking about Bill Nighy.
Oh, okay.
Sickening my shit with that shit character.
Yeah.
I thought that was... I fucking hated that character.
Yeah.
More than anything in this world. It was a shite attempt at like... Fucking, I don't know, Johnny Rotten or something.
I'm assuming they're trying to make him like out to be him or like Ozzy or something like
Ozzy,
that.
Ozzy,
yeah.
Johnny Rotten, someone sold their, used to be whatever, sold their soul, just doing Christmas things. Hey, like a lot of people do. It should have been an actual relatable character.
Yeah.
But it was just full of, I think it's terrible casting. He's too good of an actor.
And that's
he's a good actor, and he's a good comedy actor.
Yeah.
And he's great in most things he does. See that there? That was a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
It was just like, what, another shite story arc. A guy that is used to be thing, he's a bit of a cunt. Everyone finds him funny, even though the only thing he seems to do is like, oh, I play the guitar naked.
Mm.
Little punk as fuck. And then goes, oh, the only person who's been around with me is my fat agent.
Yeah. Who's Rabsy Nesbitt?
Who's Rabsy Nesbitt? Or my fucking fat agents around here. And then basically going like, yo, well, you're the guy that I...
Mm.
You're doing all this hand movement. You're the guy
that I
actually love.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Go fucking do coke with Elton John. Yeah. Or what? Do normal. Bring him. Because he's your fucking agent.
Why is he not getting an invite to Elton John's party?
You stupid fucking cunt. None of this is realistic.
Nah.
It's a fucking nightmare. They kept thinking he's funny, and then it was like and none of it was funny. It was shit. I hated that more than most.
The cameos that Anton Deckard in it at one point, and then Blue get a mention, and then he shows his cock. He shoves his cock in Michael Parkinson's face.
What was that?
And this is never ever mentioned again.
Rubbed his balls.
Oh.
And Mike and Parkinson's face.
Yeah. But I mean, he is the comic relief behind it all. He doesn't have a huge amount to do. He is just, and then
such shite.
He does a cover of the. I mean, that's quite realistic. The fact that they would just release a shite Christmassy up cover of.
I felt like it should have been really. It should have been realistic. It should have been possibly the best character, is the way I'll say it. Because it is realistic in some way. You know, like John Lydon or Johnny Rotten. Now he's trying to be Irish. You know that.
Trying to
do Ireland's Eurovision songs.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
they
keep like, send in the turkey. Things have gone like, but like,
another bit that's very unrealistic is when he goes on to the local radio show with a man we know very well, Marcus Brigstock.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus Brigstock is the radio DJ. And then he asks him about the single that he's released, and he basically, in a moment of honesty, says, look, it's just a cash in. We all know it's a rubbish song.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, if you want to, if you, the true meaning of Christmas is if you want to give an old timer another chance, then.
Yeah.
And then he says, thanks so much for that unlikely moment of actually answering a question honestly. And he's like, oh, ask me whatever you want. And then, this is breakfast radio. Marcus Brigstock says to him, who's your best ever shag? What? At 9 a.m. in the morning? What?
It'd be great if he went the Olsen twins. Because back then it would have been
Britney Spears.
Yeah, yeah. Is that what he said?
He says Britney Spears. And he goes, wow. And he goes, oh, no, I'm only joking. She was rubbish.
Oh, it's so fucked. You know what? I look now at, you know, Britney. I feel like, you know, we can probably agree that we probably made a mistake freeing Britney. but, you know, because I'm sitting there going like, that's disgusting, that conservative shit. There should not be making money off her. Now I see her, like, you know, juggling knives. And
oh, yeah. And I'm like, it's okay. It's tragic,
right. Per Britney, right? But... You know, like, there's a lot of people like Pop World and English especially treated her like, America did too, but English TV treated her like shit. Like, for her entire career. Then she tried to do anything, it was like, fucking shit actress, show your tits. Fucking nightmare in this. She's been ripped Pop World. Simon Amstel made her cry. That was funny, but also, you know, yeah. I can see why she had one of the most spectacular breakdowns.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry for old Britney. Just love Britney. Didn't we all?
Right.
I'm trying to think of anyone else here that, like, you know, that we had any fucked. I think we're all right.
Nye. We're done with Nye.
I just think that his was fucking shite. It was just a crap fucking.
Yeah.
It should have been a worthwhile story. It should have been the most relatable of all of the stories. Yeah. Even though he's the one that's meant to be unrelatable, he's the superstar. I was like, no, that's the one we can get behind. Uh-huh. And all of that fucking thing, you know what I mean? I've got one there, but Hugh Grant saying, like, get me a car on Christmas Eve. He's like, I need to get my hole. Are like, are you kidding, man? I want to go back to my family.
It's tax driver. It's taxpayers' money.
Bill Nye, I don't think there's too much to say about Bar. I thought that his was boring and shite.
Yeah.
I'm keeping the good ones.
And listen, I like Nye. I like Gregor
good
Fisher.
Actor.
The police manager, Greg.
Yeah,
Fisher,
good actor. Scottish actor. Good actor, yeah. Both of them good actors, yeah.
Right, the next couple I'm going to go on, that probably folk might have forgotten about, but it's a bizarre, bizarre characters, are Martin Freeman, and I think it is her name, Julia Davis.
Don't know her, no.
Martin Freeman, who...
That's not Julia Davis is the comedy actress that was in Four Lions, is it?
That's what I thought. That's who I thought this was. We'll check.
God, that looks... Check. It looks like her. Keep going there, yeah.
I thought when I first saw this, they were extras in films.
Yeah.
But they're not. They are stand-ins for when they are obviously lighting scenes.
Yeah. It's not her. It's because Joanna Page. They look... They look similar. Julie Davis is...
So they're just stand-ins, which I imagine, I don't know, I've never worked on a film, but... I imagine those things exist for blocking out the scenes and lighting and all that kind of stuff. There will be people that come in and stand in. I don't think they are used as quite as much as they are used. But what fucking film are they making?
Yeah.
Because, like, I assume for massive Hollywood films, for an Oppenheimer or a Barbie, there will be people that will come in and say, Margot Robbie will be standing there and moving there. Can you do that so we can see how to move the camera and how to light it? I don't imagine your average porn film is employing stand-ins.
Yes.
For the scenes.
Yes.
But every single scene they do involves them in different arrays. At one point, she's sucking him off.
Yeah.
At one point, he's shagging her from behind against
a
pillar. At one point, she's sitting in his face.
Yeah.
There's like... And there is so much unnecessary nudity in this that is questionable for Richard Curtis.
It is, yeah, there's loads
There's
of it.
No need for her to get her tits out at the start. Yeah. No need whatsoever. There is absolutely no need for Laura Linney to get her tits out
before
she speaks to her disabled brother.
Yeah.
No need whatsoever for her tits to come out there. At no point did she need to. But they're characters who are basically stand-ins for porn scenes.
Yeah.
And then end up going out. He asks her out. They have a holiday romance and then are engaged at the end or are married.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this is what I mean, how every character's motivation is when he... So it turns out he's pals with other people because at the end it turns out, oh, fuck, they all know each other. Loads of different people that you never knew each other, all know each other. He turns up at the end. She's going, oh, I've got the ring, got the ring. Yeah, we're off on honeymoon. Yeah. His parting line is, maybe I'll get a shag now.
Yeah.
There's not one person in this film that does anything without the sole purpose and goal of getting their end away.
It is. I think every character's shite. Every story arc is even worse. Because it's every story arc is basically involves something horrible and it's bowed up with a little fucking Christmas bow going like thing. And every time I'm just like, this is a literal living hell. Yeah. Most of these people, I didn't even know where to go with half of it.
Nobody's likable. Emma Thompson.
It's possibly the only normal person in it that doesn't do anything. And then she's the fucking
victim.
I'd
say her and Martine McCutcheon are the only two normal people in the whole film.
Oh, fuck.
Well, not Emma Thompson. No, I'm not giving Thompson because she did that thing in Neeson at the start where acting like a sissy. So she's an arsehole as well.
I hated the fact
Martine McCutcheon, the only working class person in the whole film, is the only decent one.
Yeah, yeah. And they also made her look at her. Look at the bumbling Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, did I say that? Yeah. Oh, shit. I'm like, aye. Oh, God, fuck me. Like,
but the porn, that's all I have to say.
I forgot about the porn sign.
They are forgettable characters, but it's just
that
bizarre.
Doesn't go anywhere. He just asked her out.
They don't need to be in it. They do not need to be in it.
Just asked her to be in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not a nice guy in real life.
Martin Freeman? Nah. Is he not?
No, he's punching his kids and all in the head and weird shit. yeah, there's a lot of... allegations go check out Martin Freeman. Yeah. It's oddly... For a guy that you'd be like, God...
The Office,
Yeah, he couldn't be doing much. Well, I don't really like the UK Office, to be honest, but him. Yeah, so, like, it's quite funny. That was a waste of time. Mm-hmm. That was weird. Yeah, I'll try and get the lighting. Can you rub her tits? And I go, that would be nothing to do with the lighting. That's nice. Could you just keep massaging her tits there? And he's just...
The thing. He's like,
what would this be doing?
Can you take her top? First of all they're doing is seeing where to position cameras, right? She doesn't need to take her top off. He certainly doesn't need to grab them. And the guy certainly doesn't need to go, could you massage them a bit?
Yeah, yeah. Rub them. Counterclockwise, please.
At no point is anyone sitting there on set saying to Richard Curtis, this is fucking weird.
It is. Yeah.
What you're asking these people to do is fucking weird.
I'll get into it. We'll even choose the next. Another unnecessary scene is the girl that's trying to seduce Alan Rickman also changes into her lingerie for a scene for no reason.
No.
There's a scene.
Twice you see her in lingerie.
And one of them, she just gets changed in between two scenes. Shows you her in her underwear and then just skips on. Mm-hmm. The only thing, I was sitting there trying to think, what's he doing here other than perving kind of, right? And the only thing I can think about was it was after the Christmas party and she's wearing lingerie. So is it, they're trying to say that she was wearing lingerie in the full hope of whatever. Is that probably what it is?
Probably. But
I mean, it didn't come across, it just looked like a random scene in the middle.
There's no need for her to just get undressed for bed.
Aye.
No need. And there's certainly no need for when she tries on the necklace that he buys her to do it topless.
No need whatsoever.
Yeah, she could have done it in a dress at her work. Yeah, she could have done it as she was leaving to go out for the night. Just wear a dress on, just wear a neck, put on the thing, go, oh, that's lovely.
Why is she in there
in a push-up bra?
We're sounding very, touchy about nudity.
No, we're not.
But we're not.
We are not.
When we were watching Flight, we were like, fucking great.
Yeah.
Naked, it fitted.
It did fit because who the character is. They're both coked up.
Great.
They were both coked up and still pissed. Of course they would have fallen asleep naked. And they were probably still horny in the morning. There's no need for it. Literally no need.
She ruined Mesut Ozil for me. She looks like Mesut Ozil. Like, oh, what a reference. She looks like Mesut Ozil. She's about to bang in a sweet pat.
My God.
Bang in a lovely assist on the left foot. Nothing to do with fucking...
Shit. Right, so let's just do it.
They're next. Right, they're next. So, Emma Thompson. Nice
woman. Horrible, horrible, this is the horrible story.
This is a horrible story with no redemption. Nothing, right? I'm going to boil this down to 5 sentences. We'll go into each scene. They're a married family with kids. He works in an office. There's a young secretary, younger than him anyway, who starts like being outrageously weird and creepy and overly top flirty.
Just flirtatious.
Just shit on weirdly, over the top.
Like when, at one point, when he's saying he's booking the... I asked her to book the Christmas party. I can't remember the line she does. But she then just basically just opens her legs like that and just stares at him. Like, opens them wide. Like, there's no seduction or anything.
I don't think,
just blatant. Yeah. There's my fanny.
Yeah, seduction would actually be them closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, crossing her legs.
Crossing her legs like this.
Fucking eye. Like, yeah.
Like this. Not like you.
But like a Sharon Stone Basic Instinct kind of way. Not just... fucking legs akimbo. You want straight in it, aye.
You want a bit of that, Snape? Yeah. Snape. You want a bit of that, Snape? This is Hans Gruber's origin story. That made me enjoy it.
She is so forward.
Aye.
Like, and very, very quickly.
What are you getting me, you cunt?
Aye, she's like...
Well, he didn't say
that, he's like, are you going to get it? Are you going to get me anything?
Aye, for
and she says, I thought I'd let you know, you can have whatever you want. Literally. Oh. Do you know what made me laugh? Right? At the Christmas party, she turns up as the devil. Is no one having a fucking word with her there? Again, this is weeks after Halloween. You're turning up to a Christmas party dressed as the fucking devil.
I never copped that. I thought I copped everything in this movie.
And then she whispers to her. He says, that's what made you wear that outfit tonight? And she whispers in his ear, it's all for you. And then I turned to Amy and went, Damien.
That's right, yeah. That's a comeback. It's all for you. Oh, fuck me. Do you know what would have been worse, which I would have liked to, if I had Curtis's job, what I would have changed about her storyline is, do you know Emma Thompson, so it's genuinely harrowing.
Mm-hmm.
He buys her a necklace. Mm. Emma Thompson, his wife, finds the necklace before Christmas and thinks it's going to be for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks. That's a good scene.
Heartbreaking scene.
She opens up the Christmas present and it's not the necklace. It's like...
It's a Jody Mitchell scene.
It's a Crocodile Dundee DVD. Right?
No, it's Crocodile Dundee 2.
Crocodile Dundee 2. See? And she's like, she's bought the necklace. So she knows, right? Devastating. You know, this is a weird thing where she goes up to her bedroom and cries. Like,
no, I imagine that's what would happen because the kids were there. So she needs to, yeah. That's realistic.
Yeah, it is actually. But I find it funny. And so that all happens, right? But you know, it'd be way worse? It'd be so much. I found out something that would be worse than the necklace, what she found. If she found like some sort of mad sex toy, like a proper invasive, powerful dildo, and she went, oh my God.
This is some kind of probe.
And she's excited about it. That's even worse. She's like, oh my God, fuck me. You know what, Alan, Rickman, I didn't think it, you had it in you. But I agree, we've been married a long time, spicily. And then she opens.
Then she opens Cards Against Humanity.
She opens a Cards Against Humanity. And all she is saying, not some girl, he's bought a necklace, is like, he is power fucking.
Oh my God, that is funny.
She is drilling. He is out there. He's out there, you know.
Oh my, that would have
Mrs.
been amazing.
Mrs. McGonagall's fucking.
Yeah.
Tied up in leather straps, blowing her fucking muck everywhere. Oh, that would have been so much worse than the necklace. The only thing I tried to think of, how would this be worse? I like catastrophizing
things.
Why did
she stay with him?
So the worst thing about this...
at the end, they're clear... Because he's clearly been on business. So I'm assuming she still works for the company. So is Emma Thompson now just accepting that he's banging this lassie? He doesn't even say sorry, really. He just goes, well, I've been a fool. No, he did.
That's the worst part. And this is the thing I remembered most about this film. That old... I think this is like an English thing. Right? Excuse my bias here. In Scotland, or in Ireland, if they find out that, you know, she's like, oh, you know, what have you found that he bought a necklace to thing? You know, there'd be a whole fight or a thing or a fucking thing. He goes, oh, but I've been but a fool. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck's that? And then he goes, oh, I've been a fool. And then he fucks off. And then there's no redemption in this. He fucks off. And then the last scene, he just turns up at the airport and she's like, oh, I was glad to have you back. Yeah. I'm like, there was nothing. There wasn't even like an attempt to like fix the marriage. Yeah. It looked like he just went on 2 weeks.
I know.
He went to Blackpool for 2 weeks to sort his head out and came back out.
In that same scenario, I genuinely think Amy would stab me directly in the heart.
Exactly.
But immediately. I mean, but, and quite rightly so.
Oh, Amy, I've been but a fool.
Yeah.
Yeah, get lettered.
Oh, you're a fucking dead fool now. Yeah.
Oh, I mean... Like he said it like he'd forgot to post something for her.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've been but a fool.
Yeah, yeah. I've left she'd asked him to pick up, because she'd run out of clothes.
Yeah,
fucking
yeah.
Christmas dinner. Oh, I've been such a tit. Oh,
I knew God. A way.
What am
could,
I like?
I knew a lie he could have got out of it for.
Right.
Right. She's like, so what would you do if you found out your husband bought a necklace? And he goes, oh no, I stole that. And she goes, what? How'd you steal that? And he goes, well, I had to afford the Joni Mitchell CD.
Oh.
I mean, you just steal the Joni Mitchell CD. Yeah.
But then she'd also go, you're not the head of an ad company. You can't afford the Joni Mitchell. Like, I know this is mid-2000s when CDs were still quite expensive. But...
This is two CDs. This has got B, C sides. You don't want to miss that. This is Joni Mitchell. Oh. That's the only way I think he could have possibly got her. She'd need to be rating stupid, though.
Oh, God.
You know.
Right.
But, yeah. Yeah. I think that's pretty much that fucking...
Horrible, horrible, horrible story.
Yeah, yeah.
Next, because I think the two big ones are the last two.
Is it the last two? Yes.
The very quickly one is the Gormless prick that goes to America.
Yeah.
What is that?
Shit.
Colin.
Shit. Was it their attempt of American Pie kind of?
I don't know. But for fuck's sake.
Oh, my case is full of condoms. Buy them out there.
Aye.
They have them in America.
And they're good actresses that they get in. Like Alicia Cuthbert, January Jones, Shannon Elizabeth from... I mean, I'm saying good actresses. I'm like, as if I'm like rhyming off Meryl Streep and Charlize Theron.
All the big hitters. Tara Reid. I'm not like all the greatest women actors.
But
January Jones.
So he...
Shannon Elizabeth.
The entire time he kicks about with a job where he basically pairs on every single woman he meets.
Hi, and creep.
And the reasoning he has...
Julia Davis, isn't it?
She is.
She's
a caterer.
I fucking forgot. She is in the film. Fucking hell. Jeez, God, that only hit me there.
So after he's tried on with everyone, every woman he meets, and none of them are interested in him because he's a tit.
Yeah.
His reasoning to his pal is, well, it's fucking English women. So uptight.
Yeah.
The equivalent of... going into a bar and not hitting on with anyone and going, fucking a lot of lesbians in here tonight, isn't there? Oh, it must be lesbian night.
Yeah.
So his reason is, the only reason...
Oh, yeah, English woman, famously uptight.
Yeah, the only reason I'm not getting my hole here is because I'm in the wrong country.
Yes.
So...
I enjoy that level.
Books a trip to Wisconsin.
Yeah, never really explains it. It even would have been funny if he just took a... He even said, I did a random one, don't know where I'm going.
Yeah, he lands Wisconsin. In Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the guy says to the taxi driver, take me to a bar. What kind of bar? Any fucking bar. Just take me to an American bar. Yeah. And he goes in, to be fair, does look like an American bar. Looks shit. Mm. Looks like could have taken him to the Gremlins bar. Yeah, yeah. He goes, take a Budweiser.
Who's this girl?
Immediately a prick. If you're going in there, there's other beers in America.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need to order a Budweiser. It's the worst beer in the world.
Possibly the worst beer. It's my least favorite beer.
And then he says, he's talking to, and then the girl goes, my God, are you English?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah.
Nobody.
And then She goes, oh, and then literally falls apart. And then,
but I've never heard of this. I've heard of Scottish, Irish. I've never heard of anyone.
Of course, they
nobody don't. Fucking nobody's gaff. Like nobody's no. Nobody's fucking ovulating this.
And even
or a couple of people have that weird fetish, like Prince Harry shit. But
even
like,
as not, a even like I imagine Irish is probably better. Even as Scottish accents, this idea that you can go abroad, particularly America, with an accent and immediately just get have to dodge women is ridiculous.
It was unbelievable, man. I couldn't get out of it.
You were homeless.
I was homeless. Didn't get laid once in America.
But yeah, so he keeps, and they increasingly get hotter as well. Like the one he meets at the bar is good looking, and then January Jones. Then Cuthbert comes in, like the fucking
Holy Grail.
Cameron Diaz coming out of the bank in the mask, in slow motion, looking stunning, and she loves the American guys the most.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
I've got one about Alicia Cuthbert. Uh-huh. What do we think? I used to have like somewhat of a crush on her when I was
24,
not before. Any no, I don't, was she in 24? I don't remember at 24.
Jack Bauer's
daughter. I'm way before this. I'm talking about when I was 8 years old. Alicia Cuthbert was one of the kids in a lot of episodes of Are You Afraid of the Dark Around the Fire.
That, wow! That
dropped the and the sparks.
Did off. Not know that
Alicia Cuthbert was one of the kids.
There you go.
She must have been about 15, and I was like 8, going. Phew.
Okay,
fucking. I'm not afraid of the dark.
Fucking buy her a carton of milk.
I'll buy her a carton of milk.
The
semi-skimmed, but just then, like you like it.
So he, this gormless twat hasn't even booked accommodation. Right, it's Christmas. Right, I don't know what I don't know what Airbnb's like in Milwaukee.
Yeah,
but I can't imagine you're getting anything. So this pricks. So then they go, you can come back to ours. And the way they make it sound is as if they live in the fucking flat in Trainspotting. Mm. Like, we can't afford heating. And then it turns out it's actually quite a nice house have. And then they go, oh, yeah, you have to share a bed with us. And because we can't afford, we can't afford pajamas, so we just have to sleep in the net.
Aye.
And then.
Well, that's because you're spending all your money drinking at this bar.
And then you go, you're all wearing fur coats, for fuck's sake. Why are you not wearing them in bed? You chilly bitches.
You chilly bitches.
Then they go, oh, but you'll have to stay with fucking Chantel or whatever. And oh God, of course, she's always been considered the sexy one.
Yeah, yeah.
And then while he's up the stairs, fucking ramming it on in a foursome, you see some other stripper-style fucking country and western singer coming up with boots on, a cowboy hat, fucking shaking her ass. So she's the fourth one that's going to get
pumped. Is that outside the house?
That's outside. She's walking up to the house.
I missed her.
And then...
I know the scene. And then comes, I was too busy looking at that. I never seen her.
When he comes back, I'm assuming that's Shannon Elizabeth, because then when he turns up at the airport at the end... He's with her. She's got a cowboy hat on. So she's like that.
Oh.
There's a chick from American Pie. So he's obviously banging her now. And then she goes, I hope you don't mind. I brought my sister. Fucking Denise Richards piles in and then just starts getting off with his pal.
And he's sitting there going, I can't believe this worked. It's offensive to everyone. Women, dudes, English and American.
Yeah.
A shit storyline. One that would never happen. Wasn't funny. The guy looks like a creepy Scooby-Doo character. He looks like he looks like all of the Scooby-Doo people if they all just merged into one.
If he walked into a bar and started pulling that kind of shit, the local lad, are you telling me there's local lads in Milwaukee, which is quite a hard-arsed city?
Yeah.
You're not telling me there's not local lads that have been trying it on with those four girls every single night. And they see this backpacked prick come in.
They're
not leathering the fuck out of him.
Yeah, that's a foursome, but it's not really. You give him a hand job and he'll wake up in the bath covered nice. And
it looks like a biker bar, for fuck's sake. Can you tell me there's not Sons of Anarchy coming in and murdering him that night?
Just a group of tens hanging about. I just have a note here saying, where the fuck's my fucking coat? Fuck. There's a scene where he's shouting for a coat, no? Because I just wrote Meatloaf, just reminded me of Will Ferrell and the Meatloaf. But I'll skip that. Shannon Elizabeth, January Jones or whatever, goes,
and a fucking Christian too.
When they're getting out of saved words. How do you say this? Bottle. It's the same fucking word, you wank.
Yeah.
Table.
We said we have only one more. We actually have
two.
Three.
Oh.
I'll bring up the next one.
Right.
Because it's quick and boring. Because again, not one of these is good. It is Colin Firth trying to bang the Portuguese.
I thought that was one of the big ones for me.
We have yet to do Andrew Lincoln.
Yes, we have yet to do
Laura Linney's.
Oh, God, so we do.
So, right, so which one next?
Very, very quickly, another character, Rowan Atkinson, fuck off.
Shite character, fuck off. The way they
try and make it out as if he was in cahoots with Liam Neeson at the end, if that guy's doing that at the shop, fuck off, prick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Firth.
Colin Firth's story is what... He's got like, he had this, it starts off, he's this girlfriend, proper fit, sitting in there. And then what, he comes back one day and she's just cheating on him.
And he's with his brother.
With his brother.
His brother, who, when Colin Firth turns up at the house with all the gifts at the end before he flies to Portugal, the fucking brother's there. At no point of the, is this not broken down the family? The fact that Colin Firth's wife is pretending to be ill and then pumping his brother like a fucking Carry On film, by the way, because she says, oh, come on, big boy, I want to do you at least twice before he gets home.
That's right.
Are you telling me the mum and dad are just welcoming him back for Christmas dinner with open arms, knowing that Firth is coming with gifts?
Well, we've got both my sons come hanging out of here right now. Get in there. Tuck into the pig and blankets.
So yeah, he walks in. She's pumping the brother. He is a writer, clearly. So he's obviously got this writing retreat in France. So he goes there for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
And he can tell he's a writer because he wears roll neck jumpers.
Ah, yeah.
And he's got a fucking typewriter. Right? Why he's writing still on a typewriter?
Yeah.
That's no wonder she fucking cheated on you. You fucking caveman.
Couldn't sleep, we hear you tinkle.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fuck
you, analog prick.
I swear to God. See, if he winds up an alarm clock one more time, I'm gonna fuck his entire family. I'm gonna fuck his dad. If that cunt still has a Tamagotchi. Oh, she goes, this is whoever. She is, she's Portuguese. And he goes, Eusebio.
My God.
Eusebio. It's not even like, I understand that he's a big Portuguese person, but I don't know if you could just.
I know.
Portuguese.
I know.
Eusebio. Like, I'm from
Ronaldo.
Scotland. I'm from Scotland. Oh, Stephen Naismith. No, it's not the same.
That historic. Why she? This is again, Curtis being a very, very pervy man. When she accidentally blows his entire manuscript in the river and jumps in afterwards, when she's stripping off to jump in for it, it's the only time in the film where it goes into slow motion. Why?
Aye.
Why is she stripping to slow motion?
It was another shit. And I've seen the film enough, but the one I watched this weekend didn't have subtitles for what she was saying. I remember.
Mine neither.
I remember what she was. I remember the bits because they were like basically always talking about something completely different. Yeah. I remember that, but whatever one I watched, I was just watching it going, did you watch it on like an illegal stream?
No.
Yes, I did. Yeah, because it wasn't on any of the usual.
You had to pay for it.
And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. Yeah. So you might have got the same streamer as I were.
I kind of remember all the shit.
There's
a lot of cross language.
Yeah, you guys, stupid shit, you know.
And he ends up falling in love with her, even though they can't speak English, and he's remarkably older than her as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Then goes home, learns Portuguese. Learns a hell of a lot more Portuguese than she fucking learned English. She clearly wasn't as into it as he was. Because she can basically, she basically just goes, my answer would be yes.
Yes. I take 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I want.
I like you, bookman.
I want green card.
That's what I remember from, that's what I remembered from the subtitles. When he turns up and meets her dad.
Oh, right?
And he goes, I'm here to see your daughter. And he calls out the hilariously less attractive daughter. And he was like, fuck no. The other one, the hot one. Right? He then takes him and then she calls in all the villagers. And then they go down to the restaurant she works in. They think he is basically buying her. He asks the dad like for her hand in marriage.
Yeah.
She's essentially getting married into slavery.
Yeah.
And the dad is totally cool with this.
That, well, that's old-fashioned. I feel like he's doing that old-fashioned. That happened in fucking Ireland, like dowry shit. Like, yeah, he's the man for you. Like, I don't like him. He owns. He's got road frontage. He's got a farm.
Oh.
Get in there. Horse it into you, love.
Oh.
I don't know if there's, I've got too much to say to him. Shite one, you know, that was just shite. Yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah, no.
It is just shite because he's obviously dealt a bad hand. Mm. I don't think it's particularly as pervy as other people have made out. I think.
No, not really.
Just,
it's fine.
He's just a guy that's.
Yeah. He's a writer.
On him. Aye.
He's a writer. It's a book thing.
He learns Portuguese within a week.
Yeah, I saw the viral video recently of the guy getting married to the Korean girl. You've seen that?
No.
Dude get married to a Korean woman, and over the 7 years they were together, he never told her, but the entire time he's learned Korean. So when he got into his fucking thing, he did the whole speech in Korean, and the father and the whole family, and wife's fucking losing
it. That's amazing. That's a proper long game.
Nailed it. Take them years.
That's a shagger move.
Smashing it Korean. And the father came up in the middle and shook his hand. They're like, this man.
Oh, yes.
This man can plow forever. yeah, but you know.
Right. Laura Linney and the incredibly handsome designer dude.
Hi.
It's just a sad story.
This is just one of the worst. Again, the story is, the main meaning from that story is, disabled people are cock blockers.
Right, that might be the worst thing we've ever said in this podcast.
That's not... so, I didn't fucking say it. That is what the entire arc of that story was.
Yeah, it is.
Her life is being ruined because her brother is disabled.
Yeah. I'm assuming the parents are dead.
Yes.
And he's...
He's left.
And they've moved to England, I'm assuming, for her job.
But she hints at... Like, look, there's disabled people in my family and stuff like that. You know me. But like, you know, they don't, and I understand there's times where frustration comes out and, you know, whatever, but there's a whole way through that. She doesn't really clearly want anything. She just kind of goes, he's a fucking.
I know. I feel like the look of guttedness on the guy when he's sitting there just in his boxers.
Ripped.
And then the brother phones again and he just goes, for fuck's sake.
I can't do this.
He tries to have a quick look, we just don't answer it. Yeah. And then, oh God.
Nothing worse though when your brother, you're trying to get the, and your brother rings you going, can you get the Pope on the phone? Like, I can't.
I said, you have to ask for the Pope.
Get the Pope on the phone. And like, you've never met a disabled person. Richard, Mr. Curtis, you have met up. Is that what you think they do? Just like, give me the Pope.
Oh, God.
I want to finger Denzel Washington. That's not what they do.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, she basically, and then, do you know, it's terrible. But then she goes to visit him and he goes to hit her and like a forearm smash.
I don't think there's any need for that bit.
I understand that is a thing that happens. But it's, and I, you know what? I wouldn't say it's not necessary. Because it's realistic, I suppose, right? But there, again, there's no actual redemption arc.
No.
What is it? She just basically goes, and then gets sad, cries her eyes out, visits her brother, gets on with her brother, because it's her brother, hugs him, and then what, she kind of like...
Well, they say goodnight to each other on Christmas Eve, her and the hot guy. And then you go, well, they're never going to give us a chance. You would think they would go... You would think, even in his part... Maybe she just said, no, this is never going to happen. But you'd think they'd give it another bash.
You would, yeah.
like Hogmanay, yeah, they'd kind of go, let's try this again.
See what happens.
Like, let's fill this fucking cock block full of sleeping pills one night, knock the cunt out. He's a big bastard as well.
Oh, yeah.
He would have leathered her.
Oh, yeah. That, like, that, he's
superhuman strong.
The garden, the guy that was working there looked at the edge of the door like, oh, I'll stay here.
He was fucking huge, the brother.
Yeah, he's like, this fucker, he's I mean, like, I sadly did laugh my ass off at that. it's odd seeing Laura Linney as well. Like, not just like,
I really like Laura Linney.
Yeah. It, she's a good actress, and it was really, it's funny that never seen her gaslighting her kids about where she makes her money. That's basically her whole thing now.
Right, but the last one before we go.
This is the last one.
Because I don't know how long we've done, but I sadly have to go and talk to Richie from Five.
Oh God, yeah, we've done an hour and 20 again.
This is the big one, and one of the creepiest storylines in any film ever.
Again, very quickly, Keira Knightley marries a dude. What do you call him? He's a good actor. I can't remember
pronouncing
his name.
Chvetel Oijer. I don't know. I feel like you're way off. Huge apologies if I've said
it. Yeah, he's an fucking 12 years, unbelievable actor. Them two are married.
An unbelievable actor who gets about three lines in this entire film.
Possibly the best of, well, you know, like Billy, you know, there's Billy Bob Thornton. Alan Rickman's a good actor, obviously, and there is people in it, but like a massive actor who gets three lines. He's just the little bitch bun.
Yeah.
He marries thing. We find out that Andrew Lincoln took me years to
marries
find out.
Keira Knightley, by the way, who's 17 in this film.
Yes, I know.
They're both in their mid-30s.
Yes.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Because there is this thing where her, because I remember seeing
it's
this.
It's not too far. Walking Dead starts about 2 years later.
Yeah.
And he's in his 30s at least, isn't it?
Oh, aye. Because there was a thing, I couldn't remember it, and I was telling Amy last night, I was like, well, do you know that apparently, like, Keira Knightley in that film and the wee kid, Liam Neeson's kid, there's only like 5 months apart. And she was like, right, don't say that because you'll make a fucking arse of yourself. It's about 5 years. And it is 5 years.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, he is about 12, but she is 17. And looks weird.
Yeah, it does.
Like, she looks really weird. She smiles bizarrely. She looks like Skeletor half the fucking time. She's given nothing to do.
Her thing is just standing around looking pretty.
Yeah.
Child.
Yeah.
Andrew Lincoln is basically the best man, isn't he? And he's also the wedding filmer, which isn't the
thing. He's not. He's not the official one. He's just filming it. I'm assuming a backup, because she then says,
"Oh, the alternate turquoise."
They got the colors locked. Did you manage to get any good stuff?
Yes.
And he says no, and then he goes, "Well, maybe."
He says,
"I've probably taped over it. I can't find all this kind of shit."
Do you know during the wedding, by the way, when everyone starts breaking out into the song, you know, like
all we need is love,
and there's about 100 people at the wedding, and at least 65 of them are in the band. Yeah. She didn't turn around and go, I don't know this many people. Who are all these people?
Absolutely.
She turned, once the trumpet players are beside her.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, the guy right beside the hole, and just go.
Why is there a man where the priest would normally do his sermon on a Sunday with an electric guitar? Why is he up at the fucking pulpit thing? But you're absolutely right. I thought that immediately. How are you not looking around going, I don't recognize any cunt here.
Yeah.
We invited 40 people, and there's 260 in this room. How is this?
And a lot of them have boxes with them. None of them have cases with them. Hey,
why has that guy got a metronome?
and a lot of the songs in here, you know, I'll tell you about that bit now, but you know, he comes out, all the songs are so out of date too. There's like Dido is playing the whole
thing. Oh, it's dated. Sugar Babes are.
Sugar Babes and Dido. But right, that's it. Like, you know, how do I not know this? 90% of the crowd was just not people she knew. She asks, first of all, what happens is she asks to see his tape to see if she's got any stuff. And this creepy bastard, his best man, he's been sitting there like zooming in.
He has made a wank bank. He's made a live wank bank of just footage of her. Zoomed in as far as what I can imagine a camera at that time would go.
Let me see those pores. Let me see those kitty pores. Like, he's zooming right into her face. Half of them are like... and you know, it takes her a while. It's all of me.
Yeah.
Imagine the last scene was it just cuts into him wanking in the bath. And he's like, no, sorry. I don't know why I filmed that part. I don't know why you filmed any of it.
Just under the toilet stall.
Oh, God. Jesus. That's so funny.
Just her taking a shit in her wedding dress.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so fucked. Him breaking into her house looking for her kids' videos. Christmas 82. Like, stealing them. Is this... he really left nothing for the imagination. He was quite funny, in fairness, at acting completely demoralized when he refused to even look at her just like this.
Yeah.
When will this end?
He's a weird guy anyway. The fucking art gallery he runs is just pictures. There's a big massive painting of a pair of tits with Santa hats on them.
This is art.
And four dudes' arses, just like...
This is art, you pieces of shit. And it's not the Rick Grimes I would have known. He would have stabbed his best man for her.
You would have thought that that would creep her out enough stop that. But then we get... Which is arguably the most famous and beloved scene in the whole film. Where he turns up with half of fucking Ryman's stationery.
Yeah.
A pad's worth of cards.
He turns up at his best mate's house.
While he's in.
While they're both in. Cuddling up for Christmas. Knocks on the door. Proceeds to show her cards saying, you know, I'll always love you essentially, but you know, blah, blah, blah. I just need to get off my chest. Mm. Walks off and then she comes out and kisses him, also mental, right?
Yeah.
So this is actually what many, this is an actual horror scene, right? This is a straight up horror scene. First of all, what a terrible idea, right? Mm-hmm. Because number one, there's two things that should have happened, not what happened. First of all, he knocks on the door, she opens up and she goes, oh, and his card's not up already. Say it's carol singers. So he goes, so the first thing is like, knocks the door. What would happen if they went, opens the door, oh, Jerry. Aye. And he goes, hey, he's here and he's got loads of cardboard. Can I see what's on the cardboard bit? No. Also, who is it? Carol singers. Oh, great.
Yeah.
Let me come and see the carol singers.
Exactly. Exactly.
How did you know he's like, the only thing that'll not get him out of his chair?
He's so cruel because there's an assumption they would be kids carol singers, probably collecting for a local school. His assumption is, tell them to fuck off and give them some money. Like,
he does all the fucking, I love you, you know, until you're old and wrinkly like this. And she's like, oh. And then he fucks off, starts walking. Dido's ringing out again. Mm. And then she runs back out of the house. So she must have come out, sat and goes, actually, hold on.
Aye.
And run out. He's like, why is she running after the carol singers? And runs out and fucking kisses him in the street and goes, as if like it's a, as if anything that he did especially was any way near
nice,
acceptable, unromantic.
The reason why I was acting a cunt is because I loved you.
It's, and then after she kisses him, he goes, right, that's enough. That's enough. Right? There's no way that's enough. The guy is a stalker. He's a psychopathic stalker. So that's not going to be the end of it.
That's enough.
That's not the end of it. She's dying. He's murdering her.
He's
either murdering him, murdering her, or murdering himself.
Yeah, yeah.
At no way is that going to be enough. And also, is that never getting mentioned ever again? There's never going to be a night out with the three of them where they get a bit too drunk. Or she goes, that fucking thing, that weird thing with the fucking cards. Remember that time you'd spent an entire day that we'd invited you to, paid for you to be there, and you spent an entire day zooming in on my face?
Yeah. Oh. Is it? That'd be so funny, though, if he did come to the door. What's on the cards, Andrew? What's on the... Nothing. Man, it's for something else.
Imagine he had to then pretend it was for him. So suddenly now, and then the guy went, fuck, I've always felt that way about you. I thought we were just pals. So now he's in a gay relationship he never wanted to be in, just to save face. And then she's got like What? But the video thing, he went to both of us. He's like, yeah, yeah, basically.
So can we get it? We can be a throuple just to get to her, even though he is quite clearly not
oh
gay.
Oh my God. That'd be incredible.
That's a horror story, all of that.
I would have respect.
It's Carl Singers. Oh, what? Carl from work? Sorry. That's so stupid.
Oh, God. Oh, right. I'm afraid I really need to go. I'm so sorry.
No, we've done enough.
Aye.
There is more, but you could go on about hours for this. Fuck this film.
What a film, man, though. Honest to God.
Like, fuck this shit.
Jesus Christ. Right, I'm going to grab, if you fill in quickly and just tell everyone, like, the reviews and all that kind of stuff.
I'm going to
grab quickly what we've got for the first week.
Oh, shit, you've got one for the next week. Yeah, yeah. Thank you very, very much for obviously following us and all that shit and all the five-star reviews. Mark's on tour for next year, so make sure you get look at those tickets. They'll be on his Twitter and all that carry on and blah, blah, blah. Keep fucking telling people about it because some people, I think, sometimes don't look at it because they're like, it's a film podcast, but really, you don't really need to know that much about
films. All the tour stuff, yeah, it's all there. Starting Belfast, Limelight, Coughlin's in Colins or Coughlin's?
In Cork?
Aye.
That's a nice wee room.
Yeah.
I love that
And then Whelan's in Dublin. Go and get them. Thank you so much for sticking with us this year. I don't think either of us really knew how quickly this would actually build. But
yeah, yeah.
We're very, very pleased with it.
Yes.
So appreciate that. Appreciate all the other podcast folk that have... helped us and given us shout outs, you know, like Sloss Humphreys, Rob Thomas, Wozniak, the Dead Meat Boys, Have a Word, all that kind of stuff. Thank you, Vittorio. Thank you for all of them that have retweeted all our shit. But yeah, cheers. It's been a blast, and we're only going to be doing bigger and bigger things in the new year. And happy new year to everyone. I have decided, as it's mine, I thought. I was going to let it randomly go, but then I thought, let's just nail it for the first one.
Okay.
So, for the first week in January, for the first Absolute Cuts of 2024, we will be doing RoboCop.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. I've got a story about RoboCop.
Excellent stuff.
It's about the first time I saw it.
Wonderful.
It involved me being shot.
Oh, yes.
So, continue.
Yes. Right, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope 2024 brings you absolutely everything you ever wished for. We'll be back.
I just want to say I don't wish that on anyone.
No, I'm the nice one in the whole.
I'm not, you're not the nice
I
one.
I am.
You're not the fucking nice
and
one. You're
how,
a fucking
that's
horrific.
How bad you are. Like I'm the nice one of this podcast.
Both beasts. Prosecco's.
Right, Happy New Year. Thanks so much. We'll see you in 2024. Cheers. Thank you.